My name's Mark.
I'm Gabe.
And he is Dr. Michael Jacobson.
Good morning, Dr. J.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Good morning.
Yes.
Great to see you.
The medical director for Christian Healthcare Ministries joining us on a regular basis. You skipped a month. We kind of, you know, gave you a month off.
Yes.
You get a little rest, you know. But back now to start the new year with us. And we were going to talk about resolutions and come at it from a little bit of a different angle this morning, because so many people make physical resolutions that involve exercise for their body. And that's important. It is, right?
It is. Well, I guess it's probably more important to actually do what you resolve than make the resolution. But yeah, that's the starting point.
And it is important because we're supposed to take care of this body that God has given us while we're here on this earth. But today, I thought it might be a really good idea for us to focus in on some spiritual resolutions. Things that we can do that are going to draw us closer to Christ in 2022. So where do we start?
So great topic, great time of the year to do it. I think so many people make resolutions. I believe it was Michael Hyatt that I heard say that statistics show that by the end of January, about 90% of those resolutions have completely forgotten. So I think that really speaks to a couple of things that I would want to point out. But where I start is by reminding myself of the brevity of life. So I asked Gabby if she would grab a sheet of paper, and I use this illustration. I used it this week with the men over at the treatment center. But if you take a blank sheet of paper, a letter size sheet of paper, it's 8.5 inches wide by 11 inches tall, right?
Right.
So if you think about the width of this paper, it's 8.5 inches wide, and you use a scale of 1 inch is 10 years. That would represent 85 years, okay?
Okay.
Now, the average lifespan of a male in the United States and a female is pretty close, is between 75 and 78 years. So 85 years, if I fold this page in half lengthwise, that represents 42 and a half years right there. If I fold it in half again, I get one quarter of the width. That takes 40, that's 21 and a quarter years. And if I add 42 and a half and 21 and a quarter, it comes right out to where I'm at, right about 64 years of age, almost 65.
Okay.
If I live to be 85 years old, that's how much I've got left. And so I've got one quarter of that, the width of that page left to live. And so the place to start for me when it comes to setting resolutions is looking at how much time I might have left if live to exceed the average of most men in America, and I'm healthy enough to actually even live it and appreciate it, that I have my mind.
And if God, if God grants you the time.
Right, if he grants me the time, there's no presumption there. So there's a great psalm, Psalm 90. It's the only one that we are clear on that was written by Moses. And in there he has a verse, verse 12, that says, "So teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom." So I think the place where goal setting starts is looking at, beginning with the end in mind, that I've only got so much time. And I am responsible for that. And just like this blank sheet of paper that I'm holding, I've got the responsibility to write the story on here and cooperate with the Lord and redeem that time and apply my heart to wisdom.
Psalm 90, verses 3 and 4, Moses writes, "You return man to dust and say, 'Return, O children of man, for 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night.'"
Yeah, same psalm. That's the context for his statement to teach us to count those days and be careful about how we use them. I've got a book here that has really been helpful to me that's written by Michael Hyatt and Daniel Harkavy. These are both coaches for business leaders. Mm-hmm. And they begin the book by suggesting that you start with picturing the end and there's a memorial service being held for you.
Oh, wow.
And you ask yourself two or three questions. Picture that memorial service. It's your funeral. It's your memorial service. Who do you want to be there? Mm-hmm. Is question number one. Mm-hmm. Who's going to be there? Number two is, what would you like to hear them say about you?
Ooh.
And number three is, what needs to happen between now and then in order for that to take place? So you begin with the end in mind. That's one of Stephen Covey's seven principles that he taught about in the Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, is begin with the end in mind. And in this case, begin with your own end in mind in terms of the life that you have available to live. And then work backwards from there. So start with that. And they actually have a really helpful tool that you can Google. I think it's called Life Score.
Okay.
And you can go to their, just Google Michael Hyatt or Daniel Harkavy, is Harkavy, Living Forward. And there's a website for the book, and you can take a Life Score assessment. And what they do is they walk you through 10 different domains, and you score your own life. You do a self-assessment of where you're at, and then you can modify this. I've taken it, tweaked it a little bit to personalize it for me, for looking at the totality of your life in each of 10 different domains: spiritual, mental, physical, marriage, parental, social, and then your financial, your vocational, and your avocational. Those would be most of them that I just said. And that, again, I've just tweaked it slightly, but that's primarily the template that I use. And I look at, okay, in each one of those areas, beginning with the end in mind, where do I want to be at the end of my life, given any time that God gives me, and then work my way back to today. And then I start there in terms of setting any resolutions for the next year.
Gabriel Collins, when we set this up with Dr. Jacobson, did you think this was going to be the first place we went today?
I didn't know what we were going to do, but
I
had my notebook already.
I know you did.
Because, that's the one thing I know that I need when Dr. J comes. Now, I got a quick question for you, Doctor. The key to all of this would be writing it down, right, and not thinking about it.
One of the verses that I have that I really appreciate is Habakkuk 2:2-3, where it says, mm-hmm. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon mm-hmm. tables,
okay,
that he may run that reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Mm-hmm. And what you're speaking to, and that I really appreciate from Hyatt and others, is that the reason why people fail in terms of accomplishing, there's several reasons, but one of the most important is not because they don't have good intentions.
We all do.
We all do.
Yeah, we
all start off and we want to, and it's a big reset, you know, at the end of the year, and we're excited, we're all going to ring in the new year and set new resolutions, and next year is going to be different. Why is it that 90% of those resolutions are completely fallen by the wayside? It's not for lack of good intentions. It's because we don't have a system that keeps them in front of our eyes throughout the year. So writing it down and then having some kind of reminder system. And I have a system that I use to keep them in front of my eyes all year long. Mm-hmm. So I'm continuing to make progress on it.
Okay. We are on our way on a little bit of a journey this hour with Dr. Michael Jacobson towards spiritual resolutions for 2022. We've started in a great place. Before we go to the break, again, the book that you've brought with you, that first one, tell everybody the title and the authors, and we'll make sure we have the info if people want to know.
All right. The book is Living Forward, A Proven Plan to Stop Drifting and Get the Life You Want by Michael Hyatt and Daniel Harkavy.
Okay.
It's really about intentional living, and it's a great book. Really helpful.
We'll come right back. We'll continue on this path of spiritual resolutions with Dr. Michael Jacobson in just a moment. I'm Mark.
I'm Gabe.
And Dr. Michael Jacobson is here. He is the medical director for Christian Healthcare Ministries, joining us on a monthly basis. And we're starting off 2022 by talking about spiritual resolutions. All right. We got off to a roaring start there. Dr. J, man, you kind of hit us where we weren't looking there.
Sorry about that.
That was really good, because I think we've kind of oriented everybody for everything else that's to come.
You bet.
What's number two?
So I would say that number two for me, especially when we're thinking about spiritual resolutions, is two things come immediately to mind. Number one is I have moved, this is not going to maybe come out quite right, but I have moved away from setting character goals for myself in this way. So if you look into Romans 8, it talks about how we are being conformed into the likeness of Jesus Christ, right? Mm-hmm. And I grew up in a really solid Christian home and have been around the gospel, gave my life to the Lord when at age 9, you know, at a Billy Graham crusade. And so this has been part of my life since I can all remember. And so I was always wanting to be more like Jesus and grow to be like his character and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting. When I look back, I remember where I was sitting down at this time of year, just usually it's the week between Christmas and New Year's that I do my big review. And and I'm looking back at the previous year, and I'm looking forward, and I'm trying to think about some goals for the next year and areas of my life that I need to work on. And I distinctly remember sitting at my desk thinking, you know what? I'm doing pretty well. I think I kind of got it together. And you laugh. You laugh. I'm this young buck that has one kid, you know, who's about 4 or 5 years old. And we were ready to give parenting classes and all this stuff because we really had it together, you know. And,
And
I look back at that and I just laugh like you, because I feel so less competent as a human being than I was back then in my little 30s, you know, when I didn't know what I didn't know. And the reason why I'm saying this is because if you're not careful, you can get like I think I was back then and looking back and be looking at the wrong things and maybe not seeing yourself as accurately as maybe everybody else sees you and so on. And here's the next, so that's one factor. The second factor is we all know terrible stories of great people, great leaders in the church, in the faith, who have suddenly fallen big time and disgraced the name of Christ, disgraced their own names and their ministries and so on. And that happened, there's scandalous multiple times that happened there, particularly the 80s and 90s and so on. And you think, how could such a wonderful person or somebody who is so affirmed and acclaimed, who it taught us all how to live, end up doing those kinds of things and falling from grace? Mm-hmm. And I believe that part of the, you know, that who pride corrupts absolutely, something like that. I can't remember, you know, that. We are prone to being lifted up in pride and lacking good self-assessment. So here's what this has brought me to. Instead of setting targets where I'm really trying to become this better person in this particular area, which I'm not saying that I've abandoned that completely, but really what I've realized I need to focus on as my primary spiritual goal is on abiding in Christ.
Okay.
It's on walking with Christ, because it's a dynamic relationship that is really the goal. It is not a state of being that I achieve. Does that make sense?
No, it makes perfect sense.
So, because as soon as I stop abiding in Christ, which if it was today, I'm going to fall flat on my face and I'm going to make a big mistake and I'm going to look like I got really bad character. Mm-hmm. Okay. Right? Mm-hmm. So first and foremost, my spiritual resolution, it always has something to do with my relationship with Christ, with knowing him better, knowing his word better and applying it to my life, but really not in an intellectual way, but it's a part of abiding with him. There's a great verse that has meant so much to me over recent years in 2 Peter. It says, grace and peace, beginning in the chapter, first chapter, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power has given unto us all things pertaining unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. That word knowledge is epinosis. It's intimate, experiential knowledge. And we have access in knowing Christ and walking with him. We have access to absolutely everything that we need for this life. Mm-hmm. Right. And it's in staying intimately in that relationship that we experience the divine nature, the divine power that we need to give us what we need to be successful throughout the year. So it's really relational that needs to be my resolution, not goal or achievement oriented. It's like joy in the journey, right, and experiencing. I hope that makes sense.
It does. And I'm glad you used the word abide.
Yeah.
Because that is a word that I've heard a couple times in the last year. It just means to live with.
Yeah.
And if we live with Jesus on a daily basis, I mean, it's just so interesting. You talk about those who fall. I happen to be listening right now to, from Christianity Today, their podcast, The Rise and Fall of Mars Hill. It's the story of Mars Hill Church in Seattle.
Yeah.
How its spectacular growth to 15,000 members, and then boom. Mm. And every day when I get out of the car, and I've had two pastors already, including my pastor, who've said, when you get done, we're going to sit and have lunch together, and we're going to talk about this. And when I get done, and I have these questions about how this could have happened to so many people in one church, I keep reminding myself there's a reason that Jesus keeps referring to us as sheep.
Yeah.
There's a reason for that.
Yeah.
And I think if we abide with the shepherd, we're not going to get lost.
Absolutely, Mark. And
we're not going to get lost.
Absolutely. And we need to always keep in mind that that shepherd is Jesus.
Amen. It's not a human being.
It's not a human being. And if I am an under shepherd, so to speak, right, pastoring people, I need to always remind myself, I do not want them to follow me. I want them to follow the real shepherd.
Amen.
And I'm not saying, the way I use that is like the Paul in Philippians, follow me as I follow Christ. But if I ever step away from abiding with him and follow him, don't follow me into disaster. Keep following Jesus. That's your responsibility. So, yeah.
Along with that, and I think, Gabe, I think you might agree with this without a doubt, that along with abiding in Christ, we need to have a relationship with somebody,
yeah,
who's going to be able to tell us, hey, you're wandering off in the wrong direction.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We need the support system.
Got to, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I think we have a very individualized mentality in the West and
we
the
do.
U.S., but that it's me and Jesus and I follow Jesus. Mm-hmm. But isn't it interesting that he said we're two or three, like we're three people here gathered in his name.
Yeah.
There I am in the midst of it. It's not when you're in a cave by yourself that he's expressed that and you're having your devotions with me, as important as it is to connect personally with him. But he's there in the midst. And there's something with regards to that accountability, the community, the relationship. It begins with our templates, the Trinity. It's three persons all in one in community with one another. And that is what really helps me to get the intent that Christ has for us in community with one another. And man, we need it, because we can see things in one another, and Christ wants to use us to help one another, that we just are not going to get if we're all by ourselves kind of trying to do this like a lone ranger with Jesus.
Mm-hmm. And what's another way that we can stay motivated? I mean, because basically you need a support system of some type. Are there some other ways we can stay motivated when we make these decisions?
So that leads me to my second part of the spiritual resolutions. Number one,
okay,
I'm focusing on is abiding. It's the walk. Mm-hmm. I think another way of saying that, I believe, means the same thing as walking in the Spirit. It's interesting that Paul says in Galatians 5 that if you walk in the Spirit, you will not, and there's a double negative there in the Greek as I understand it, you will not fail. You will not fall while you are abiding and walking in Christ. And that, and Mark, to your point earlier on the definition of abide, that word for walk in the Spirit, is the walk word is peripateo. Pateo is where we get the having to do with the feet and walking, and peri is to walk around, and it's the picture of two people who are close friends walking in a park, and it's just staying connected intimately. So that's number one. Number two, to your question, Gabe, is who, and back to your point, Mark, who I'm going to walk with. My son, Nato, loves to quote a guy named Jim Rohn, who said, "You are the average of the five people you spend the most time with." Mm-hmm. So don't think in terms of what I want to accomplish in 2022. Think in terms of who I want to walk with in that journey towards whatever it is that you're accomplishing. Coach John Wooden, who I agree with people who believe he's probably the greatest coach of anything that ever lived, said, "Show me your friends and I'll show you your future." So who is it that I, and my son, Nato, reaches out to people that you would probably recognize by name. And he has done this several times. He's reached out to him, and like I was going to go down to Franklin, Tennessee for a conference with Michael Hyatt's company. And Neil Anderson is a friend of mine and a published author. We wrote a book together. And Nato heard that I was going to be having lunch with Neil. He said, "Can I come along with you?" He came along for a three-day trip just to sit down at the table with Neil Anderson, because he knows who Neil is and he knows what a great man he is of God. And he just wanted to be there at his feet, listening and learning. Mm-hmm. He has even called people up and asked them if he could pay them to sit down with him, and he'll take him out for dinner or lunch because he just wants to pepper them with questions and learn. And he picked that up from John Maxwell. Find out the people that you want to be like or want to walk with, and go get some wisdom from them, and value that and invest in yourself by reaching out to those people that you love and get that relationship that would really benefit you.
Yeah. And it seems like with the walking, like you said, you know, that involves feet, and it goes with movement, right? So you're abiding in Christ, but then when you're walking, you've got to be taking some action.
Amen.
Right?
Yeah. It's not sitting and just thinking.
Right.
It's, there's a great quote that I'm not going to remember even who it was, but I know Nato shares it fairly often. Your life is the result, not of your knowledge or thinking, it's the result of your decisions. So you're looking for the right decisions, and that implies action. So you are moving.
8:32 right now with Mark and Gabe and Dr. Michael Jacobson on this Thursday morning. Dr. J with us on a regular basis, medical director for Christian Healthcare Ministries. Okay, we have a little more time left to us. Do you have one more thing, one more gem of that you can share with us to push us forward spiritual resolution-wise in 2022?
The gem, I would say, would just point back to the most important decision that I ever made was when I was 17 years old. I was sitting at the dinner table. It was before dinner. It was just me and my mom was standing at the sink washing dishes or something. And she said, "You got some mail today." And I took the mail. And at 17, you don't get a lot of mail, you know. And and it was a scholarship from the local university that I had applied to. I was going to go off to their pre-med program and begin my studies to become a physician. And it was right after Thanksgiving. My brother had just come home from Bible college and spent Thanksgiving with us. Mm-hmm. He was 2 years older than me, but a year ahead of me in school. And he, in the few months that he has, was away, he came back and he had so changed in two ways that I noted. One was just his humility was just like amazing to me, because he didn't leave that way from my standpoint. And then the second was his gentleness. Wow. He was kind.
Okay.
Wow. And I'm sitting there at the table and I'm looking at this scholarship and it's in the backdrop of my mind is I've just spent the weekend with Thomas and watched what a life transformation he's gone through. And it just was like a mirror to me that showed me, buddy, you got some needs. You got some issues that you need to address. And I made a decision. I told my mom, I says, well, I don't know if this will be around in a couple of years, but I think I'm going to tell him I can't take this because I'm going to follow Thomas and go off to Bible school. And it wasn't necessarily the decision to go to Bible college, although that was very that was the means by which I got there. But that decision set me on a path to become a student of God's word for the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. And as I understand it, when you look in the scriptures, the Bible, the scriptures are described as spiritual food. And in fact, Peter indicates that we were conceived by the word of God, the incorruptible word of God, and that it's the milk of the word that nourishes us and becomes meat as we grow and mature. And I believe the most important resolution that a human being can make is to become dedicated to be a student of, first of all, the Lord Jesus Christ, the living word, and then secondly, a student of the written word. And if my children make that commitment, not just to follow Christ, but to become students of his word, I really don't worry about them.
So you went to Bible college because you saw a living embodiment,
yes,
of Jesus.
A living epistle.
Sitting right in front of you.
Yes.
For a couple of weeks.
Yep.
And you became a physician anyway.
I did.
God granted you that, and I'm sure he smiled when you went off to Bible school because he knew that those two combined together, you being a student of the word,
yes,
for your entire life, and a student of medicine,
yes,
for your entire life, we're going to have a great impact.
Yep, that's exactly
that
right, Mark.
That is so cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was a little bit of a journey. I gave up medicine because I saw what was in my brother, and I recognized its importance, that that was far more important than my professional aspirations, and I recognized that the reasons why I wanted to go into medicine were not godly. They had, as I went through aptitude testing in high school, and I saw the list of the kinds of professions that I might be good at, physician was on the list. And, but the reasons why I wanted to is I wanted to do something where I would make a lot of money, I would have a lot of respect, and I would have a lot of autonomy. I could be my own boss. And when I went off to Bible college and I began to reexamine my motives as I gave my life to really following Christ, I realized those are not really great reasons for being a doctor and for being anything. And so I gave it up because my reasons, my motivations were wrong. I went off for 2 years. It's a 2-year program of study. And in my second year, as I was about halfway through, my dad came and visited me. And I still have this picture of him in my dorm room, just sitting there asking me questions about what it, my interests were, what I was thinking of doing, and I had given up being a physician. Mm-hmm. And then he asked me why, and I told him why. And he said essentially to me, you know, Mike, I think you still have that in you. You have the capability, and it would be a good exercise of your gifts if you still had the interest. Your motives are different now. And he kind of gave me the green light, mm-hmm. you know, to go back and to do that. And it was just a pivotal defining moment in my life when my dad came and sat down and talked to me about which direction I was going to go when I came to this fork in the road.
Wise gentleman right there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was really timely and very helpful.
Dr. Jacobson, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
For being here this morning and for giving us some resolutions to work on spiritually in 2022. Mm-hmm. Again, the book that you talked about off the top is?
Living Forward by Michael Hyatt and Daniel Harkavy.
Okay. Living Forward, just Google it. You'll find it.
Yep.
Dr. J, it is always good mm-hmm. to have you here.
Thank you so much.
Great to be with you.